Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, January 15th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and we are in the chapter Into Action, page 83, paragraph 1, beginning with Yes. There's a long period of reconstruction ahead. Today's readers are Martha M. for the 12 Steps, Lucy M. for the 12 Traditions, Leslie W., Penny L.C., and Dawn D. We'll have Nan K. greet newcomers after our recording stops, and Leslie W. will have some important announcements for you. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, January 14th, is 13936. That's 13936. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, January 15th, is 13975. That's 13975. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. Overeaters Anonymous fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Martha M. to please read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning. My name is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a compulsive under and overeater. Here are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. With that, I pass, and thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Martha M. And Lucy M., will you please read the 12 traditions?
I'm Lucy M., a recovering compulsive overeater from Oregon. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Lucy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Please use star 1 to do that. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and the chapter Into Action. We are on page 83, and we're reading and commenting on paragraph 1. And I will now ask Leslie W. to please read that and comment for us. Thank you.
Hey, Elaine. Thanks. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Okay. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Okay, this is actually one of my favorite paragraphs in this book, because it is something that I have to come back to a lot and focus on, because my greatest amends has been with the family. That has been my home, has been the place where I have needed to make the most changes and still need to make changes. You know, this is not an overnight matter, but what I would like to address in this paragraph is, you know, I don't know about you guys, but for me, this is a really daunting thing. This was a really daunting task. I mean, when I started making my step 9 amends with my family, you know, I did go to my husband and say, hey, you know, I want you to know that I realize the way that I have been behaving is the way that I have behaved is not okay. Whatever it is that I chose to say to him at that moment, I got to tell you guys, my words meant nothing to him. Nothing. In fact, he said to me, Leslie, that's great, but I've heard this kind of thing from you before. I'll believe it when I see it. Put your money where your mouth is, Mama. You got a long way to go. I didn't want to hear that, but that was the truth, you know, and it has taken years of consistency. You know, that was my husband's main beef with me was my inconsistency. And, you know, on again, off again, on again, off again. I was an emotional roller coaster. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. But this is not supposed to be something that we take on ourselves, okay? It's easy to read this paragraph and go, oh, my God, I have so much work to do. There's this huge mountain in front of me, and I'm never going to be able to right all my wrongs. I'm never going to be able to get there. No, that's not it at all. That is morbid reflection, and morbid reflection will get us nowhere. It will get us into self-pity, which will get us back to the food. And that defeats the purpose of this whole thing. So what I have to remember is that God, my higher power is going to give me what I need to make these amends, to live the kind of life that he would have me to live. Does that mean being a doormat and allowing people to just step on me because I deserve it, because I've treated them so badly in the past? No, that's not what it is at all. It's about living the life that God intends for me to live and treating those around me with respect. Every day I pray that God grant me the ability to be loving, kind, tolerant, and patient with all of those around me. I don't know about you guys. I don't know about y'all, but my family, they're the ones that push my buttons the most, and they're the ones that need the most amount of love. I'll never forget when my husband said, Leslie, you're nicer to your fellows, the people that you talk to on the phone, than you are to me. Ouch. That's not the way it should be. And so every day I work to rectify that. And I need God's help to do it because I don't have what it takes. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Leslie W. Who would like to comment on that first paragraph on page 83?
Lisa G. from Texas.
Lisa G.
Ken W.
Kara L.
Ken W. was it?
That's right.
Kara L. Okay.
Santa
L. Santa H. And I heard another L.
Kara.
Kara L. Kara L.
Shelley C. R.
Barbara
C. R. I hear you, Barbara E. And I'm going to put you at the top of the next lineup. And let me tell you what I've got. And if I made a boo-boo on your name, please let me know. Okay, I got Lisa G, Ken W, Sarit L, Santa H, Kara L, Shelley CR, and Barbara U is going to top us off on round two. So please go ahead, Lisa G, and you're followed by Ken W.
Thanks, Elaine. This is Lisa G, recovered in Texas. And I'm going to point out just a few sentences that are in neon to me. We must take the lead. Their defects may be glaring. You know, I am the queen of judgment. I have been a judger for many, many, many years. And so having to think about what I say, what I do, how I act towards other people, no matter how glaring their defects may be to me, and I can read your mail and take your inventory all day long, that's still in me. That's still a desire that just pops up inside me that I have to just squash down. And it's true. We must take the lead because, especially with our families, you know, because there's no perfect family and there's no perfect person, and people will do and say things like Leslie just said, that push our buttons. And our families, us included, know how to push the buttons of the people that we love the most. And I just can't do that anymore. I can't do it. And, you know, I've been working on this for years prior to being Envisioned, being in Al-Anon and just other work that I've done. And it's really hard. It's really hard because, you know, when you're trying to keep your mouth shut, not judge, smile, say things like you might be right. Even after you've done made amends to people. And if they're not in recovery, it can be really, really hard. But it's an exercise, just like lifting weights or doing anything else. But when you start, it's exhausting. It's hard. You want to cry, or I want to cry. I want to scream. But it's not so hard anymore because, you know, the sick man's prayer is a wonderful thing for me to say over and over and over in a tenth step to myself, because nobody's perfect and recovery is a beautiful, wonderful way of life, but not everybody's in recovery. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lisa G, Ken W, you are up next, and then you'll be followed by Sarit L.
Thank you very much. This is Ken W, recovered in North Carolina. This is a great paragraph. It kind of separates for me the difference between making an apology and making an amends. The remorseful mumbling that we're sorry won't fill the bill, unfortunately, that's the way most apologies sound these days. And that's a whole new learning curve for me in terms of I'm sorry if I caused you any harm. It doesn't cut it. The fact is I did cause harm, and that's where I need to – I'm sorry I caused harm. That's an apology. Or I sure didn't mean to hurt you. Well, I should hope not. Otherwise, that makes me sound like an ogre if I did intend to hurt you. Those apologies fall way, way short, and I have found that out over the years, and I've listened carefully when apologies are made, what's actually being said. It's kind of like, I didn't mean to hurt you, but, yes, but. Whereas the men's part for me is to say, this is what I did, and this is what I'm doing. And I need your help. You know, whoever I'm talking to, I need your help as well to follow me along with this path of being different in the future. It's not an easy task. It's a lifelong process, and I've been at it for a long time, and I'm still learning, but making progress. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. As I continue to aim toward God's ideal for me, I can still claim some progress. Thank you for letting me share. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you very much for sharing, Ken W. Sarit L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Santa H. So I want to unmute Sarit.
Hi, this is Sarit L. Thank you so much for your service. Recovered compulsive overeater in Montreal, Canada. Let me know if you don't hear me so well, okay? Okay, so this is just such a beautiful paragraph. Grateful to be here live with all of you. And yes, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. And when I look at the word reconstruction, I think of a construction site and the mess that it entails. You pass by and you see just bricks falling all over the place, strewn all over, you know, dirt, mud, all the rocks and the trucks and the tractors, the digging that goes on. And what does that say is that there's work. There's work in this area, so please beware. And I just think of that, and it makes me kind of chuckle because I gave over my sixth step at one point to a sponsor of mine, and I listed her all my defects, and I said, okay. And she said, yeah, you seem to have this message that you're going to be one and done, like you're, you know, it's all gone. And I said, yeah, that was like my, you know, that was my thought process is I'm not going to be mean, jealous, angry, manipulative, character assassinating, gossiping anymore. And that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. The case, that was just the beginning. Giving over my sixth step was just finding, you know, it was just getting the awareness of all my defects. And then now the real work is living in steps 10, 11, and 12, continuing to clean up at this construction site that's me. I am now under construction, and that's the beauty. That is the beauty. I could cry. It's so beautiful because today I have a chance at life. I have a better chance at life. I am able to give everyone around me a better Sarit, a better mom and wife and parent to a child of a teacher. I can do all of this better because I'm under reconstruction. That's the mindset today. I woke up this morning with the willingness, thank God, to work my program to see where I can focus on being a better me, you know, looking at my family members when they talk to me, because even that takes a pause and an intention. So it's just, and we must take the lead. Again, the big book says that it can have glaring defects, but again, we're the ones with the program, and we're the ones that have to take the lead. I'm the one that has to take the lead if I want to live a better, happy life, right? It doesn't matter if that person's right. They can be right, but I'll be very, very unhappy at the same time, even if I'm right. And it doesn't pay. It doesn't pay because it blocks the sunlight of spirit. And it's not worth it for me to live in that world of darkness and moodiness. And yeah, so the period of reconstruction is just such a beautiful metaphor to think of. I'm under reconstruction today, and thank God for the willingness to do it all with you. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Sarit Al. Santa H, you're up next, and you're followed by Kara Al.
Good morning, my fellows, and thank you all who shared, and a special thank you to Team Wednesday. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. Oh, wow. I am so grateful to be reading this here paragraph today and listening to all the beautiful shares that went on, where it says, yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. It is a lifetime process for me. It's, you know, when I first started out, I didn't see it that way. I thought it would be quick, done, and over. But no, this is a lifetime process for me of the living amends is what I'm gathering from reading this here. And I must take the lead. That was hard. But it's my responsibility. It's my behavior. It's my responsibility. And it's my responsibility to do something about it. And this remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fit the bill at all, that was me as an addict. I was always saying I'm sorry. But I wasn't saying I'm sorry because I was changing my ways. I was saying I'm sorry as a tool of manipulation. You know, where today I understand that amends means that my attitude and my behavior must keep change. And, you know, making amends by means of apologizing doesn't fit the bill today. You know, this is an eternal commitment that I have to make, means changing my attitude and my actions today. And so this beautiful prayer on the bottom says, each morning meditation, that our creators show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love is the foot bill for me to walk each day now. Is to be patient with my fellows, be tolerant and kindliness, and show love, just the opposite of how I did as an addict. And I also remember I said I'm sorry so much to my ex-husband that he would just come up to me and say, sorry, I didn't do it. And that really caught me off guard when I first heard it, because it was wearing people out with I'm sorry. So today I learned that, you know, when I'm making amends or having to make amends, is that I don't expect forgiveness today. I don't expect gratitude or acceptance and understanding and reconciliation. I don't make an amends to get an amends today. I make an amends to clean up my side of the street and to walk differently. And to be that patient, tolerant, kindly, loving person, and to accept people for who they are and not as I would have them to be. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Santa H. Kara L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Shelley C.R.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for Team Wednesday for your service today and bringing us this amazing meeting. You know, I threw my name out there and then I was listening to everybody and I thought, wow, you know, everything they've said is exactly what I was thinking when I thought I'd share this morning. And I'm so grateful that I'm not alone. I'm so grateful that there are other fellows out there that, you know, need to make amends. And it is not, like we've said, just the words, it's the actions. And it is a long period of reconstruction. You know, I've been married a long time. I have grown children, and there's a lot to make up for. And it's not just, you know, my husband is my first because he's my safe person and he's the person I treat the worst because I know that he'll always be there in my heart. And so there is a long period. And if I look at my step 10s, probably the majority of them are about him because I know that my behavior has to change. And it's the hardest for me. But it's also my extended family. When I'm at family gatherings, am I being of service? Am I changing who I am? Am I still stirring the pot trying to get, you know, attention? Or am I looking to see where, you know, how can I be helpful to each of them? How can I take the dog for a walk so that they can sit? Can I get up and do the dishes quietly and just have it done so they don't have to think about it? You know, it's a period of reconstruction in all areas of my life. And I don't get to decide. I have to ask my higher power for direction because I'm the one that got myself in the deep hole. I'm relying on myself and doing for self. And working the steps brought me to my spiritual awakening. And so now I no longer get to turn to self for decisions. Now I have to check. I check with my higher power. I check with you know, knowledgeable sources. I check with my sponsor. And I'll tell you what. Life is so much better and easier. It just gets better every day. The more I rely on my higher power, the better my life is. And I, you know, you often hear me say, I ask about everything. Which cereal should I eat? Which lipstick should I wear? You know, I put my hand on it. Oh, should I wear this shoe today? And it's all practice for me because I have to practice with the small things. So I remember to ask my higher power and don't go to default self and decision. So I'm so grateful to be here today. I can't wait to hear the rest of the speakers today. Thank you for everyone that's already shared. And if you're thinking about sharing and too frightened, please do it. I just want you to know my heart pounded the first few times I shared on this line. And I want to hear from all of you. Have a lovely day. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. That's a great consideration. Really appreciate it. Shelly CR is up next, and we have Barbara E. as the first person in our next lineup for comments on page 83, paragraph 1. Yes, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. And so after Shelly's share, we'll take on a couple more people who can share their experience, strength, and hope with that paragraph. But first, let's hear Shelly CR. Please go ahead, Shelly.
Thank you. This is Shelly CR, recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And just very grateful to be here. And just as I was on the line just now, my dog started kind of freaking out. So I moved to another space. So hopefully you can't hear, but there was a deer right outside and right in front of my car and just kind of hanging out. So what a beautiful like start to this morning. So this paragraph is so wonderful. And it's so funny, as many times as I've been through the big book, how different things jump out at me depending on where I am in life and where I am in relationship with my higher power and with the program. But this part specifically in sitting down with the family, it's like, you know, as has been mentioned, I also tend to lash out most at those that are closest to me and the ones that I should be treating with such courteousness as I do to other people. But I fall back into my defects of character, and those definitely come out more so with the ones that are nearest and dearest. And so there's a fear aspect of sitting down with my family and frankly analyzing the past. There's a fear of that, of acknowledging those things. And that's the part that I need to work with my higher power on, you know, giving me the willingness to be able to do that. I can easily slip into, you know, taking inventory for other people, and I'm a very critical person. I'm a very judgmental person, and so really looking at my side of the street on things and really focusing on that and my actions when I sit down and think about it and I ask my higher power for the willingness to be able to kind of go through and look at my side, I do see how I'm partly responsible, regardless of what it is. And sometimes I'm fully responsible for that. But, you know, I have a 10-year-old son, and I know that I amp things up sometimes between us. And the way that I respond to certain things that he does or doesn't do, you know, that's my part of the street. Like, that's the part that I, you know, need to sit down and talk with my family about and kind of have a family meeting and be able to go through that. And that part about, you know, reaching out to my higher power. And I love that this gives me the direction. You know, we look at this big book for the directions on how to live life, because I have an issue with living life. My issue is the food is the symptom, but it's definitely the living life part that I have difficulty with. And so this gives me that direction. I can ask each morning in my meditation for patience, tolerance, kindliness, love, really looking at those assets that I need to practice more so and focusing on those. How do I do that in my daily life? How do I do that with my family? I'm very grateful to be able to be at this meeting today. This paragraph is, I love it. It's great. And I love how it just really jumped out for me today. And although I've read it, I couldn't tell you how many times in the past. Thank you. I'm just very grateful for this today. Comes in timely. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley C.R. So who'd like to comment on paragraph 1, page 83, after Barbara E. this morning? We have them about 4 shares.
Laura W.
Julie E. B.
Liz. Liz.
I heard Laura W., Julie E. B., and Liz.
Liz.
Vicky
B.
Courtney M.
Lynette.
I don't think we're going to have more for others, but I did hear Leah S. and Courtney M. So we'll see what we can fit in. If some of the shares are shorter, we'll see. So, and okay, I got Barbara E., Laura W., Julie E. B., Liz, I didn't catch your last initial, Leah S., and Courtney M. And again, I think we'll have room for most of you. And if you want to kind of shave a few seconds off your share, maybe we can fit everybody in. Okay. Please go ahead, Barbara E., you're followed by Laura W.
Good morning, everyone. It is Barbara E. in New Jersey. I am so blown away by the shares that came before that I feel guilty even taking up a minute of this time because I heard so much that relates to my life. Yes, I can put down the food, but put down the negative behaviors with the family I love that lives with me 24/7 is the hardest. I can make amends, but they have to be for me living amends. I will try, Michael, not to be impatient. I will do my best not to react negatively, but I may do it again. I know that. And what I hear in you all is a quality of honesty that I want for myself and peace even that I hear from you all. You seem to have the ingredients for successful living, a philosophy, a faith, a sense of humor, and clear-cut objectives. This is a hard road we tread. Putting down the food is but a beginning for me. This is a way of life, and the challenge contained in its principles is great enough to keep me striving for as long as I live. I believe it's essential for me to maintain my abstinence, which is hard enough because I can rest on my laurels after 2 decades. But I can't idle too long. I must go forward. I must work with others. I must pray to God to keep me divorced from any pity, self-seeking, self-aggrandizement, dishonesty, and remind me of my powerlessness every single day. Thy will be done, not mine. And I hope I shaved a few seconds off. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. Laura W., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Julie E.B.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in New Jersey. Yeah, it's been so great listening to these meetings this morning and hearing such wonderful shares. I don't know about anybody else, but I grew up when I was given a task to do or a project to do, you know, my goal was to finish it. My goal was to do it well, get it done as quickly as possible, and do a good job. And there was a finish line. I also do, for over 25 years now, I've run a lot of races and triathlons and stuff, and there's always a finish line. That's my goal. My goal is to get to that finish line and work for that. And so this has been really amazing for me to change that my thinking, ask God to change my thinking to take away that idea that there's a finish line here. There is no finish line here for me. I have to do this work every single day, one day at a time, for the rest of my life if I want to live well. And, you know, living well, it's the art of living. I mean, this didn't come with a manual. You know, life didn't come with a manual. However, recovery did, and that manual for me is the first 164 pages. The hardest place for me to work these 12 steps is with my kids and my husband. Undoubtedly, it's the hardest thing, but it's the most important thing. And it doesn't talk here at all in these pages about alcohol or about food. And that tells me that there's so much more to living than just putting down the food. I was reading in the For Today book today, he talks about the art of living requires that I like myself, accept what I am, and stop wishing I were otherwise. There's no room for pretense. People who have developed the art of living are sweetly loving and deeply sensitive while maintaining their independence. They are respectful of their own values and opinions of those of others. And to take that into consideration every day as I go about my day is so important, but I just can't do it. I have to ask, and you know, it says ask. Ask means to pray. Ask who? Ask my higher power. Show me God. Show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And when I can do that every day and relinquish my control to try to find that finish line, I'm going to have a good day. So I'm so grateful for the reminder that it's a one-day-at-a-time process, that it's never-ending, and that's a relief to me. It's really relaxing to know that I don't have to figure it all out. It's in front of me, and one day at a time, the peace will come over time. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Lord W. And Julie E.B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Liz, and she'll let us know her last initial when she shares. Please go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered and under construction here in Colorado Springs. I just have to say that I have had construction done in the past, been a part of my whole basement flooded with sewage, and I have to tell you it's one of the most challenging time in every one of my relationships in my life. And this business of reconstruction is messy, painful at times, joyful at times, exciting and ongoing. And I just want to share that for me, the way this worked is I just heard a really inspirational vision speaker say after decades of recovery that he did 5 to 7, 10 steps a day. And that really changed my life at a time when I was just getting starting my ninth step and just releasing things over and over again with the outreach line and the 10-step line, releasing over and over again. I was able to start to change my relationships with those people on the line and then start maybe changing a few relationships with folks I work with or encounter in businesses and notice my defects. And then maybe with my coworkers and then some with my kids. And now finally just really trying to look at that reconstruction with my husband. And I am not the builder. My higher power is the builder. And my higher power accepts me and accepts progress, onward movement toward the goal, not perfection as the spiritual value here. I'm an addict because I want comfort and ease at once. Construction is not comfort and ease at once. And so I need a lot of support along the way, and I need a lot of connection with my higher power, and I need a lot of working with others to get there. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. And Liz, you're up next. If you could give us the first initial of your last name, and you're going to be followed by Leah S.
Sure. It's Liz S. as in Sam. And, I was very moved by this because I was thinking of a couple of different things, and one of them is I was the tornado, in my family. I'm one of eight children. But I was the tornado, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was. And so when I think of the reconstruction that has to be done, it's because of the destruction that I caused. And I think of the actual destruction that is caused by tornadoes. There's a lot of work that has to be done afterwards, literally. And, you know, it's a very vivid image for me. And, you know, I made amends to my siblings. And one word that I never, ever use is sorry. Because to me, I have to be far more sincere and honest. I must say exactly what I have done, admit that wrong, regret that wrong, and sorry is out of the picture. Because I think that sorry is just, it's used so often, it loses its meaning. And for the damage that I did, and I think of what Bill talks about in step three, you know, we think we're managing, we think we're helping, and what we're really doing is stepping on the toes of others, and they wish to retaliate. So at the same time that I was a tornado and sort of wreaking havoc, I was stepping on the toes of everybody around me, and I had no idea. So, all of these things sort of come together, and while I can make an amend, that's just the beginning. I have to live that amend, and I have to continue, and however long it takes is however long it takes, because I can't control the response and the time over which other people will change, but I have to. So I just want to make that connection for me, because that's what I was, and gratefully, that is no longer what I am. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Liz S. Leigh S., you are up next, and we do have time for Courtney M. after you. Please go ahead, and thanks everybody for making room for that. Please go ahead, Leigh. Leigh S., star one to unmute.
Okay, how about now?
I hear you now. Please go ahead.
Okay, wonderful. Leigh S., recovered in Brooklyn, New York, and very grateful. Today is 1 week that I've had surgery, and this is a biggie for me. How do I make amends, living amends? I was scheduled for a repair of a hernia, and I decided not to tell anyone. What I didn't realize was that I was going back to my character defect. My character defect is to isolate. I'll take care of this. We got this. We got everything under control. And something hit me at 8 o'clock while I was scheduled at 9:30. And I said to myself, if I would be a daughter or a son, and I would not know that my mom was having a regular surgery instead of a small procedure, well, how would I feel? And that immediately set me into motion. So, the amends is breaking through. Even though I've broken through so many other character defects of mine, and just allowing myself to be vulnerable. And gosh, oh God, was I grateful when everyone just maneuvered everything and was there, right there before my surgery and after. And I didn't realize, and I admitted, yes, I do need you guys. I need you, family. And I am vulnerable. And that to me was such a breakthrough. And even now, getting onto the line and admitting this to everyone, Leah had surgery and she's coming out of it very slowly, but she's coming out of it. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. And Courtney M., you're up next. And due to everybody such kind and considerate, we may have time for a quick share after Courtney. So please go ahead, Courtney.
Yes, this is Courtney M., recovering in Florida.
And I read this paragraph this morning right before my meditation, and I had to get a highlighter out and highlight specifically the part about other people's defects that are glaring. Somebody else shared earlier that they are a chronic judger, and I kind of laughed in my head about that because, you know, though I've never sat on a bench, I have been a judge for decades. So I've definitely judged other people's defects of character, and there have been many, many times in the past when my goal was to, you know, smooth things over. I don't know that my goal was necessarily to make amends. My goal was to smooth things over. And I did that whole mumbled apology, mumbled I'm sorry, just to, you know, turn around and repeat the behavior. And because I was also looking for that two-way street. Oh, well, you know, obviously they were wrong too, so they need to apologize too. And not really looking at it from the point of view is I don't have control over them. I don't have control over their reactions or their thoughts or what they think about me. And but I have control over my thoughts and what I think about me. And if I can do my house cleaning on my side, then the thoughts that I think about me are kinder. If I'm doing things that are God-guided for me, then I feel like I can hold my head up high and know that I am coming from a space of love instead of a space of fear, because so much of my life I have reacted and made decisions from a space of fear. And so one of the things that I'm seeing now as I'm working in my recovery and working the steps is that I always have to ask that question about, you know, where is the fear in this? Because when I'm judging other people, I'm also fearful, because I'm fearful that maybe I'm like them, and I probably am. And so with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Courtney M. And we do have time for one more share. Who'd like to take it?
Vicky B.
Carla. Vicky B. Vicky B., you've got it. If you're not Vicky B., please press star 1 to mute your phone.
Hi. I realized, it took me years, that there is a solution, and the solution is spiritual. And I thought, well, what does that mean? It took me a long time to figure out what that means. And for me, the turnaround that got me into understanding what the solution is that I had to align my behaviors with my higher power and ask, as it was noted today in the reading, each day I ask my creator for, I don't know the exact words, for patience, tolerance, kindness, and love, that I would be graced with that. So in order for me to get to those behaviors, I had to change the behaviors that I had. And it took a lot for me to identify the behaviors, because I was so self-reliant. And I chose that behavior, and then I thought, well, what? How can I change that to an asset? How can I change that to align that with my higher power's behaviors and of what he wants me to align with him, what I choose to call him, God? So I do that. And now I see that living in the solution is the spiritual solution, is making sure that my responses, my behaviors, are patient, tolerant, kind, and loving. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Vicky B. Thank you, everybody who has who's come and shared and been part of this beautiful meeting today. We'll now transition by reading from the Vid book on page 164. Penny L.C., will you please read a vision for you for us?
Yes, Elaine, thank you. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And this is the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.